get?
Get your ass in here, Sid.
Yes, boss. Oh, God.
What have you balls up this time, Fish?
Oh, shut up, Farquharson.
Come in, for Christ's sake, sit down.
What's wrong?
Can you keep your mouth shut?
Is Paul Keating a Catholic?
Of course Paul Keating's a bloody Catholic. What the hell's that got to do with anything?
Just what is it you wanted, Barry?
My wife's walked out.
That's too bad.
No, I don't give a stuff about that. What worries me is that she's cleaned out our joint account and holed up at Ridge's.
The gambling joint? Mrs. Cromer?
Well, according to her boyfriend.
Boyfriend?
Oh, stop repeating me, for Christ's sakes. Look, it was a man's voice on the phone. Two-faced slut.
What else did the boyfriend say?
Well, that she wants to talk to me.
So? Well, where do I come in?
Well, use your brains. I campaigned against legalising two-up. I can't afford to be seen fronting some gambling den in bloody King's Cross. You're going instead.
I don't recall seeing this on my duty statement.
You could always find another job.
Well, what am I supposed to tell her? Well, assuming she is there, that is.
Well, find out what she wants. But don't promise her anything.
Cromer had every right to be worried. As the opposition spokesman on morals, manners and motherhood, none of which he'd experienced firsthand, he couldn't afford a missing wife with criminal connections. It looked as if I'd be doing damage control. I was no stranger to sleaze. After all, I was his press secretary. It was my old mate, Lizzie Darcy. We'd had a brief fling years ago, and Lizzie had turned me into a friend. Lizzie pretends to be a journalist, but she's really an anthropologist, and we're her tribe. Although she'd spent a lot of time as foreign correspondent in North America, what she doesn't know about Sydney isn't worth knowing.
It's me. We need a comment from the old boy on the latest unemployment figures.
Oh, okay, I'll fix it. Give me 15 minutes to dream something up. I've got to go. I'll talk to you later.
Hold on a minute. What's going on with Margaret Cromer?
Why?
One of our photographers told me she's missed two appointments today with no explanations from you lot. Are you on strike or something?
No. She pissed off on the old boy and the stupid bugger didn't tell us. Now we all look like idiots.
She walked out, you mean? It's about time. The woman's a martyr, if you ask me. Is there a story in it?
No. It's just a lover's quarrel.
Now, why don't I believe you?
Well, probably because I'm paid to tell lies. Look, mate, we're having a bit of a crisis here. Can I get back to you?
Okay, but if somebody else gets this story, you're a dead man.
Yeah. Farquharson, get over here. Cancel Mrs. Cromer's appointments for the next 2 days.
Why? What's the story?
Flu.
As in flew the coop?
Just one word, Farquharson, and you'll end up in the Brackish Waters Division of Fisheries, filing tadpoles.
Ridge's illegal gambling club hunkered behind enormous reinforced wooden doors in a back street of King's Cross. The place was so famous it even appeared in tourist guides. The only people who couldn't find it were the police. The door was opened by Luther Huck, a fat man with a grudge.
I'm trying to find a wife.
That's funny. Most of the punters who come in here are trying to lose theirs.
And not mine. Somebody else's.
Sounds better already.
I'm looking for Barry Cromer's wife.
Here? Shit, she wouldn't be caught dead in a dump like this.
Better not let your boss hear you talking like that, mate. Here, this is Margaret Cromer.
Good looker. In a lady-like kind of way. We don't get many ladies at Ridge's.
There's $100 in it if you do.
We'll see.
Outside, it was a normal night at the cross.
Want a girl, love?
I elbowed my way through the strollers and gapers to Fitzroy Gardens. beat some dithering tourists to the last table in a coffee shop, and watched the denizens gearing up for the night's commerce. Ancient, tattooed 15-year-olds painted over the bruises and struggled into spiked heels.
You don't have to tell everybody you chucked me out, you bastard!
Giggly Japanese tourists photographed each other against the backdrop of round-eyed riffraff, and the yuppies began to trickle in for pre-dinner drinks at the expensive bistros.
What can I get you, sir?
A long black, please.
You sure you don't want some cake? We have hazelnut tort, carrot cake, black forest cake.
No, thanks. Oh, wait, I'll have the black forest cake. What had I got myself into? Why would a woman like Margaret Cromer be hanging out in a dive owned by a crim like Ronnie Brackenridge? Jason
Smith. Yeah?
What are you eating?
Ham and pineapple pizza.
No wonder you look like shit.
Thanks. What do you want?
She's here.
What's she doing?
Having dinner with Ronnie.
Ronnie Brackenridge?
No, Ronnie bloody Barker. Bring the $100, Fish.
Before I set off, I rang Cromer's house to tell him where I was going. I wasn't exactly expecting to get kidnapped and bumped off, but people have been known to have accidents at the cross. Sid Fish here, Barry. Friday, or 11 p.m. I'm on my way to Ridges. My money disappeared into Luther Huck's enormous paw faster than an ace up a card sharp sleeve. I'd probably never be able to squeeze it out of Cromer, who still had the first pound note he'd been bribed with.
They're over there.
Sure enough, there was Margaret Cromer dining with Ronnie Brackenridge. Ronnie was a spiv with friends in politics, the racing fraternity, and some of the meaner streets of Southeast Asia. The man was vulgar and probably too good-looking, but he had the sly verve of a snake oil salesman and the nerves of a futures trader. He'd have a certain appeal after Fat Barry.
Give us a beer, will you, mate?
Foster's, Heineken, Cooper's Light, Cooper's Ale, Corona, 4X, Cascade...
Corona. And no bloody lemon in it.
That'll be $10, sir.
Over the top of the most expensive beer in the Southern Hemisphere, I watched Margaret Cromer basking in Ronnie Brackenridge's attention. She didn't look anything like the tamped-down wife in the photograph. This woman was all teeth and tits, and Ronnie was in imminent danger of falling down a cleavage.
Would you like a photograph, Mr. Brackenridge?
What do you think, Mark? You sure would love one.
It'll only be a minute, Mr. Brackenridge.
I've been wondering if I should bust up the party and frog march Margaret Cromer back to the North Shore, or try to reach Cromer and let him do his own dirty work. It was too late now. Ronnie Brackenridge had the sort of photo the tabloids had killed for.
Very nice. Thanks, Cheryl. Buy yourself a drink.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Brackenridge.
Don't we make a handsome couple?
I'd had enough. Tomorrow would be soon enough to drop the bombshell on Cromer. I'd lost my appetite for pizza, though. Outside, the cross was in full roar. It was a shock after the gilded gloom of Ridges.
Wives, six, singles and couples, welcome. What about you, sir?
I fought my way through the thickening crowd of revelers, fortune tellers, hookers, buskers, drifters and grafters and their victims, innocent or otherwise, and headed for home.
Still stuffing yourself with donuts, I see. You won't live past 50.
Don't get your hopes up, Farquharson.
Oh, by the way, the old boy's been yelling for you since dawn.
Well, where is the bitch?
Well, at this moment, I'm not absolutely certain, but last night, she dined at Ridge's as a personal guest of the proprietor.
Brackenridge?
That's Marmy Bastard. Now, Brackenridge, my ass, it's obvious he's a wog of some sort.
Oh, please, Barry, not even in jest. Remember the ethnic vote.
Why? The bastards always vote Labour anyway. Besides, a wog's a wog. Probably one of those Italians from Griffith Mafia, for sure.
There's more. Pictures.
Oh, God.
Pictures of the happy couple over dinner.
Well, go and see Brackenridge. Find out what the hell is going on. Oh, that bitch is up to something.
Wouldn't you rather handle this yourself? I mean, it's a very personal thing.
Brackenridge is taking photographs. Do you want a picture of my wife and that slime ball on the front page of the Sun Herald this weekend? I'm paying you to keep me out of the papers, in case you've forgotten. Now get out there and deal. If you don't want to do it, I can always get Farquharson.
What's going on? The old boy's so nervous he's breaking out in boils.
Farquharson, do us all a favour and join the Labour Party.
This is Ridge's nightclub. There's no one here at the moment. Staff were back on duty at 7 p.m. Yes. Please leave your message after the tone.
Luther, it's Sid Fish here. Set up a meeting with Brackenridge for me, will you?
With nothing to do till 7 p.m, I escaped to the Wentworth Hotel, a favourite watering hole for political staffers, public servants and lawyers.
What'll you have, Sid?
Give me a scotch.
No, it's that bad, is it?
No, I told him we should appeal, and he said, you're not getting another penny out of me, you greedy bastard.
So, what do you think of the Labour win?
Well, I had $100 on it with Farquharson.
You know, I was convinced they were going to win up until Thursday. Yeah. Then I really got the wind up. It was those dim-witted journalists telling us the Liberals had it in the bag.
Did it change your vote?
Of course not.
Well, there you are, then. It didn't stampede the diehards, and the swinging voters were so scared of the GST, they opted for the status quo. Civil psychology, I would have thought.
Hindsight, you mean. Farquharson's probably decided you're a member of the fifth column by now.
Sometimes I hate this job.
Could be worse. You could be a lawyer.
Yeah, I got a bad feeling about this one, though.
Want to tell me about it? Or is it top secret?
Well, it's classified, but who cares? You know how to keep your mouth shut, otherwise you wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes in this snake pit. Here, have a look at this and tell me what you think.
Not a happy lady. Who is she?
The boss's wife.
Oh, no wonder she looks as if she's lost the will to live. Depressed, I'd say.
Say, Betty, a couple of Coronas here with lemon?
Betty was right. Knowing Barry, I could see why Margaret Cromer had bolted. What I couldn't understand was why I was helping him to get her back. Well, several drinks helped numb my conscience. At about 5 o'clock, I put in a guest appearance at work.
Where have you been, for Christ's sake? The bloody phones are ringing off the hook and the old boy's going bananas.
Well, what's going on?
Well, somebody's told the media Margaret Cromer's shot through, and they've got wind of some photographs of her and her new boyfriend.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh. Don't look now.
Where have you been? Making inquiries.
Well, come into my office. Now! The press are onto the bloody photographs.
Do they know who's in them?
Well, I don't think so. They've been fishing, but we're refusing to comment.
Yeah, very wise under the circumstances.
Yeah, bitches behind this. Now, what have you been doing to earn your keep?
Well, I'll be talking to Brackenridge tonight. Maybe we should rethink our game plan. They've just upped the ante, I'd say.
Well, give her what she wants. Just make sure you get all the copies, that's all. And listen, if you screw this up, you'd better start rejigging your CV.
Smelling of grog and aggro, Luther Huck let me into Ridge's without a word. Brackenridge appeared, wearing a Zegna suit and more aftershave than a Mexican airline steward. We shook hands. A manicure, too.
Waiter, Mr. Fish, something to eat.
It's on there, Sid.
Thanks. Calamari and chips and a Heineken.
Jesus, Sid, live a little. Have the lobster at least.
Bugger the lobster, Ronnie. Let's deal.
You won $100,000 for the picture.
He'll never pay it. He's tighter than a budgie's bum.
How is the old boy taking it? Well, with being the anti-gambling crusader and all?
Not all that well. He suggested you were a wog on the make.
At least I don't beat my wife.
And that's when it clicked. I took out my photo and placed it beside Brackenridge's. The look on Margaret Cromer's face was fear. The woman I'd seen last night at the club had never been afraid of a man in her life.
Well?
It's a better job than fine cotton, Ronnie. But it's still a ringing. Who is she?
I'll get her.
This was too easy. Ronnie hadn't played his trump card yet.
I'm Katie Kincaid, Margaret's twin sister. Thank you, Ronnie, darling. I think I can probably manage now.
Ronnie beamed at her, gave me a hard man look and left. I could see why he was beaming. She was a knockout. Katie Kincaid and Margaret Cromer were identical twins. But up close, you could see the difference. This woman was tough and confident and totally in charge.
Satisfied?
What's the perfume?
Money. I'm sure you'll appreciate that it's taken considerable effort to set this up, Mr. Fish.
Sid.
Okay, Sid. And you've buggered it up.
Oh, not totally.
I see. Perhaps you'd like me to explain why I did it.
Be my guest.
My sister's been married for 15 years to that pompous bag of shit. He humiliates her in public, and he slaps her around. He's destroyed her confidence, but he hasn't managed to ruin her life yet. She wants to put all this behind her, to forget.
$100,000 buys a lot of amnesia.
I prefer to see it as an accident compensation package. Loss of earnings, pain and suffering. And Marg's practically unemployable. There isn't a great demand for doormats out there.
Well, this is pretty radical for a doormat. What's your sister's role in all this?
As a matter of fact, she doesn't know. She's holed up in my apartment at the Gold Coast having a nervous breakdown. She thinks I'm away on a business trip.
Which you are.
Which I am. Marg had enough gumption to take some money out of a joint account to get away, but she's terrified Fatser will come after her and beat her up.
Well, I'm sure he's giving it careful consideration.
I've got friends too, if he wants to play it rough.
Yeah, I've noticed. She could always take him to court.
Be realistic. Cromer would buy himself a smarmy QC and wipe the floor with my sister. And she'd give up without a fight. She's a lady, you see. And ladies lose.
I liked her. She was tough and funny and could have put the state of Victoria into profit in 12 months. Whatever her game, I was on her team. All that remained was to get the ball past Barry, and it looked as if I'd be carrying it.
What's that constipated look mean?
I'm thinking. There's just one thing that bothers me. How come Cromer didn't spring you? He must know his wife's got a twin sister.
If he'd twigged, the cops would be crawling all over me by now. I've never actually met the man. I was overseas during the Grand Tour when he married Mark. If I'd been here, I would have tried to talk her out of it. As it turned out, Cromer kept her away from us bog Irish Kincaids in case we put the bite on him. Margs had to sneak around behind his back to see us.
It sounds like the Cromer I know and love.
Oh, besides, he's a cheat. And cheats are easy to con. They get overconfident.
There's just one little thing, Katie. Where does Ronnie Brackenridge fit in?
I was wondering when you'd get around to that. Ronnie and I are old friends. We went to the same high school in the western suburbs, and I ran into him again at university.
University? Ronnie Brackenridge?
Sorry to shatter your illusions, Sid. Ronnie did a BA. Financed it with gambling. Playing poker with the Asian students. And winning, of course.
Cheating, you mean?
Oh, we don't know that. I seem to recall he had a racehorse, too.
Ronnie Brackenridge, BA, I don't believe it. The bastard can't read or write.
He didn't have to. He can count. And I did all his English assignments.
Well, how did he get away with that? His lecturers must have known he was illiterate.
I used to make him write them out in his own handwriting, and I'd put spelling mistakes in for authenticity.
How'd he do?
Passes. I didn't think they'd swallow distinctions somehow.
My silence made Katie think I was shocked. It wasn't that. I was outraged. I'd failed English.
Don't knock it. Ronnie paid very well. He'd beat the hell out of waitressing.
And you kept in touch?
Not at first. I tried saving the world for a while, living in a cockroach farm and teaching in my old school. I couldn't hack it.
I don't see you as a school teacher somehow.
Neither did I.
How did you get out?
I hit Ronnie for a loan and took off for the Gold Coast. The place was full of men boasting about how they made their money. I was a good listener. They loved that. They weren't interested in my opinions. It didn't occur to them that I had a brain.
How unsporting of them.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Sid. I'm not whinging. I knew what I was doing. I got an education. All those blokes got was a quick feel.
What did you do with it? The education, I mean.
Paid Ronnie off. Played the stock market and used the profits to buy a dress shop. I've got two now, and a block of flats. So you can see why I've always had a soft spot for Ronnie. He showed me it could be done.
Okay. I'm in. I'll give it a go.
Good. You might need these as corroborating evidence, so to speak.
Yeah. Nice skin tones. You and Ronnie photograph well. Katie Kincaid was no fool. She knew I'd been shaken by the pictures of her and Ronnie snapped in very compromising positions. She leaned over and kissed me.
Sometimes you need a snake to catch a toad.
So what did that make me?
Where have you been?
I've been...
It's 9 o'clock, I've got the media breathing down my neck, and you've been sleeping in.
I was up half the bloody night negotiating with your wife.
Oh, don't give me that shit. Margaret's a wimp. It's that gigolo who's running this rort.
Yeah, be that as it may. They want $100,000 for the photo.
$100,000? Now, where does she think I'm going to get that sort of money? Oh, they're mad. I won't do it.
And what'll I tell the papers?
I tell them she's cracked up, having a nervous breakdown, menopausal, any bloody thing. It's only a picture of her sitting in a nightclub with a spiff, for God's sake.
I hate to have to tell you this, Barry, but there's more.
More what?
More photos. Like this one.
Jesus H. Christ, how could she do this to me? Oh, what'll I do?
Pay up. They've got you by the balls.
You don't seem very sympathetic. You're supposed to be protecting me.
I am. I'm telling you to face facts and cough up the dough. You don't have any choice.
Okay. But make sure you get the negatives. Tell him it's going to take me all day to raise the money. And tell that slut she better leave the country. Because next time I see her, she'll have more to worry about than a black eye.
To make a long story short, I couriered the money to Katie Kincaid and picked up the photographs. Oh, not all of them, I'd wager, but enough to keep Cromer quiet. Back at the club, she counted the bills, then stacked them neatly in a leather monogrammed briefcase.
Thanks, Sid. You're not a bad operator. Next time you're in Surfers Paradise, drop in and see me. You'll always be welcome.
Yeah. Along with all the other con men, fugitives and losers, in search of some sunshine and a ray of hope, I thought, as I watched her leave for the airport in Ronnie Brackenridge's Jaguar. Cromer never did find out exactly what had happened, but with the unerring instincts of a sewer rat, he knew I was in it up to my armpits.
Get in here.
Cromer was sprawled behind his huge leather executive desk in his leather executive chair, with his fat arms clasped behind his fat head.
He exuded a degree of arrogance exclusive to political hacks, bankers, property developers, and successful drug importers. He started in, even before I sat down.
The trouble with you is that you're arrogant. But you're not nearly as smart as you think you are.
What seems to be the problem, Barry?
Well, I don't want any smart asses on my staff. You come in late, you can't get along with your colleagues, and you're not getting me enough good press. You're fired. Well, haven't you got anything to say for yourself?
Yeah. I do now you come to mention it, Barry. Do you still beat your wife?
That night, I sat down with a large scotch and considered my options. My list of saleable skills was alarmingly short, and I'd burned my bridges in politics and journalism. But there had to be some kind of market out there for snoops and fixers.
Then they all interviewed the brockloaders, solicitors.
But the fact is that men want to be discreet. They don't want to be identified. Yes, it's possible that they are randy, but
control.
Dave, Sid.
So, the old bastard finally gave you the push.
It didn't take you long to find out.
Sweet out, the tom-toms have been beating all day.
Farquharson.
Yeah, a little shit's ecstatic. So what does I hear about Margaret Cromer walking out on Bazza?
It's true.
Are these two matters connected by any chance?
Pure coincidence.
So don't tell me you're locked, you bastard. You'll keep.
No, seriously, Dave, I want some advice. You work for the police minister.
I'm not fixing any more parking fines for you, so don't even bother to ask.
No. It's not that. Look, I need a job. I thought I might try to get a private detective's license. Like, what do you have to do? Do you need some sort of training?
Well, for spying on people, telling lies, bribing public servants and consorting with criminals, you've got to be kidding. With your background, you're a natural.